Hey there, Hoops fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another episode of NBA Takedown. Joined, as I am on every Monday, not by Jeff Johnson. He's coming in a couple of minutes, but I am here with Sean Hardy, my friend, my colleague, my partner in arms. And he is dressed in a nice Syracuse Orangeman shirt there, or is that a Miami shirt?
A Miami shirt.
Miami, the college, because their color is orange.
Yeah, and their logo is a U. There's no S in Miami.
I thought it was I couldn't see the bottom of it. I thought it was a number six. If you go low enough where I could only see the if you're 2 inches lower, it could pass for a six.
I understand. Let me back up a little bit. Let's make this easier. So yeah, but I'm wearing this shirt just to remind everyone that Syracuse for the fifth consecutive year will not be in the NCAA tournament, which is an absolute travesty. There will have been multiple classes, undergrad classes, that did not see Syracuse play one tournament game while they're enrolled as an undergrad, which has not happened since 1972. There are always struggles when you lose a legendary coach. It sucks to be the guy after the guy. That was Adrian Autry, who was released after three seasons and no tournament appearances. So hopefully they get this next one right, because if they don't, we can end up like Georgetown.
I thought you were going to say Fordham. I was going to follow up that I don't feel bad for you in the slightest, because has Fordham been to an NCAA tournament in my lifetime? I don't think so.
You should know that better than me.
The fact that I don't know that, and I never taken the time to actually look at that. I know their women's team is very good, but I would be shocked if the Fordham men's basketball team, I mean, they certainly didn't go when I was there. I don't even know if they made the NIT when I was there, but that's my point. At least you have it going for you that you went to a real sports school, you know. No offense against any sport that Fordham's actually good at that I don't know about.
So ironic, a shout out to my friend Adam Rosenberg, who originally was like, if we don't get this hire right, we might as well be Fordham. And then I corrected him and I said Georgetown. Because listen.
Don't let Monica hear that.
Listen, at the end of the day, Syracuse should not go 5 years without missing the tournament.
No.
It should not. And Fordham last made the NCAA tournament in 1992.
Okay, so I was nine, so that's great.
They made a tournament four times in history, 53, 54, 71, 92, which honestly, I feel as if, why couldn't Fordham be the Gonzaga of the East?
I mean, I've actually spent time thinking about why they're not a bigger, because they have a nice campus. Yes. They have a somewhat historic gymnasium. It's not the biggest gymnasium, but it is historic. It's really nice if you go inside.
Rose Hill, baby.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. I don't look. They tried at times. I think it was my freshman year. It might have been my sophomore year. They had Bob Hill.
Yep.
As a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, former Spurs head coach some renown. Anyway, we're not talking about the NCAA tournament today, mostly because I don't think I could name five teams that are in the NCAA tournament. Here's what I want to know. Are any of the big presumptive draft picks, are they all in the tournament? Are some of them in the tournament? Do you know this?
Well, maybe I follow. If your college basketball knowledge is a one, mine is like a 2.5.
Okay,
but
so they're never
BYU's in, so DeBonte is in.
Okay.
Kansas is in. Obviously Duke is in. So that's the top three right there.
Okay. So that's it. Yeah. There you go. That's all. Those are the three potential topics that I know. I might try to tune in to a game or two to see one of those guys play. I will not fill out a bracket because why?
Why?
Have not watched 1 minute of college basketball this year. Shout out to John Wall, who apparently watches a lot of college basketball. And that's why he should absolutely be hosting or be one of the panelists for the Prime show and not me. I got my plate full with NBA stuff, which is what we're going to talk about today, as we always do. So I woke up this morning thinking, oh, should we start dipping our toe into award stuff today? You know, we got a month left. And then Shams dropped, I don't know if I call it a bomb. I mean, it's extraordinarily significant news that we're going to get into today. Mm-hmm. The NBA is now officially chugging along. I mean, there's been talks about expansion for a while. It's probably going to happen, might happen, maybe happen. When would it happen? What needs to happen? But now this is actually going to be put to a vote as I get the incomparable Jeff Johnson up here on the stage. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
What's going on, fellas? How you feeling?
We're feeling pretty good. We were just talking about how neither of us know anything about the NCAA tournament except for the fact that Sean knows his team's not in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean...
Don't just listen. Look at Hofstra. Just congratulations for getting to the tournament for the first time in since, you know, Jimmy Crackhorn.
Wait, Hofstra's in?
Oh, yeah.
And congratulations. LIU. That's and awesome.
LIU. I don't know what the hell Syracuse was doing up there. Actually, I do know. They took care of that coach. So
Hold on. We got to get into this. What seed are they?
They're the 13th seed facing your fighting Alabama Crimson Tide.
14. All right. Yeah, usually 14, get a
413.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for Alabama, actually. You know, they'll have to go all the way to Tampa. Well, it's not really all the way. That's probably like a 2-hour flight. So, you know, grand opening, grand closing. It is.
Listen, man.
Team of destiny.
If you could make it in that part of Long Island, you could go down to Tampa and win a basketball game.
That's listen, not everybody can win the CAA tournament, bro.
That's
it's just what it is. The Colonial Athletic Association?
Yeah.
You're asking me what conference you're in?
Bro, we're in a different conference every year. We just incrementally, it's like relegation. We just keep going up to different leagues every year. So eventually, actually, my hot take is if they get NIL, and that means I'm going to get more letters about
those. That's right, big donor.
That is kind of true. But if they find, like, you know, Marquez Colston, I'm looking at you. Wade Corbett, I'm looking at you.
Shout out to Wade Corbett.
You know, if they start pumping into NIL, maybe there's a future where Hofstra joins the Big East.
That's not crazy. I mean, look.
They'd have to be competitive consistently for like 5 years or something like that before they could even consider it.
Five.
You think like because of the stigma? Because
no, it takes like we're getting off topic, but I think
I know what you're saying. You got to build the program.
But
get that.
Listen, that's what St. John's is doing NIL money. That's what Syracuse is not doing with NIL money. And which is a shame because Lord knows we have the donors. But you know, we'll see.
We shall see. I hope that both of you guys, your schools return or continue, in your case, Jeff, continue its rise to relevance. Sean, I hope at some point we care about Syracuse men's basketball again. Because
they should have never left the Big East. How about that?
I could it?
Money. It's all about money.
No, I know why, but it's like.
But they had no choice.
Were you that attached to the conference or no?
Yeah, I don't fuck the ACC. I don't like being in the ACC at all. But. The Big East was always going to fall apart. Like once they did the thing where there were eight football schools and eight basketball schools, at some point there was going to be, all right, this is not going to work. I would have no problem going to Big East and being an independent in football, but the ACC has made it damn near impossible to leave the conference without, you know, like it will take a lot of lawsuits. So it is what it is.
I'll just say the fact that, like, again, Syracuse not being in the Big East when it's like Syracuse was the Big East for a very long time. That's one of many reasons why I can't pay attention to college.
I mean, the Big East is now like the CHSAA right now between Villanova and St. John's, the Catholic High School Association, Basketball Association. Like, it's really what it is at this point. Once they put Creighton in, I was like, what are we doing here? Fuck is crazy?
But you can say that so many different decisions. And again,
USC is in the Big Ten,
bro.
It's cooked.
Sacramento State is joining the MAC next year.
Follow the money. Speaking of following the money, how about that for a transition? So the NBA will vote at a Board of Governors meeting later this month. To explore adding two franchises in Las Vegas and Seattle. There is momentum for stakeholders, per Shams, to approve surveying what industry executives project will be bids in the $7 to $10 billion with a B dollars range. Did we ever for a second think that the NBA was going to turn down a potential influx of 20 or more billion dollars in cash, Jeff? I don't think so.
Absolutely not. I mean, I think the biggest story is one of the greatest wrongs in NBA history is about to be righted, giving Seattle the Supersonics back. It just stank, man. It just absolutely stank. Like Seattle, I'm familiar enough with Seattle to know they are a hotbed of hoops. You saw it with the Storm when the Storm was created for the WNBA, and those fans never left. They've been waiting patiently for their team to return. So I think it'll be really dope to see the Sonics come back to reclaim their stolen legacy from the Oklahoma City Thunder, who actually don't need it anymore. And I am on time for that first OKC Seattle game in Seattle. Oh. That has to be within the first month of the season on national TV.
That's opening night.
But the thing is, it's an expansion team. It's like, are we doing that on opening night?
Yes.
It should be.
Do you remember? I should remember this, and I don't. The first time the new Browns played the Ravens? It doesn't stand out in my head. I don't know. I might just be.
I remember the buildup to that, though.
I remember the buildup, too. That's why. But I don't remember the game and, like, was it a competitive game? I don't
know. So I was not a Ravens fan in 1999.
Oh, okay. So then. Never mind.
But because remember also the Ravens were not good for their first 3 years of existence either. So like 96, 97, 98, they weren't that good either. So there wouldn't have been that much hype. Whereas if OKC is any good in 2029, which is when they're saying,
well, we're
it'll happen.
We're going to get there. Shout out Basketball Joy says happy for Seattle. The Sonics were a great franchise. Never should have left the city. I don't think anybody wanted them to leave the city. And again, follow the money. That's what it usually is about.
There was a deal in place to keep them there.
Yes, sir. And yes, then, there was. But
you know, if you watch Game of Thrones, you know deals are only as good as the paper they wrote.
Things happen. And Jason says opening nights are for the champions and contenders. I agree with that, actually. I don't think we're getting an opening night, but we'll get it. Like, it'll be a prominently featured game. So there's a few different angles to go through with this, and we're gonna kind of draft what we so we're gonna have a little fun today. We're gonna kind of pretend like if expansion happened this summer, what would be the most interesting scenarios in terms of protecting players. But we're also actually I want to project a little bit out. This expansion draft wouldn't happen for 2 years, but you could actually already look at certain situations, including situation with the team that you just play in Seattle, and speculate about some interesting decisions that teams may have to make in the coming years. But before we even get there, Jeff, I'll start with you. What's the most interesting thing about this to you, about this, the whole expansion thing?
Just the draft itself. Yeah. I think it's going to have, because let's just be honest, this is getting approved.
Oh, it's just
this is getting approved, right?
100%.
So over the next 2 years, you're going to see massive volatility on NBA rosters, not only as they prepare for the 28-29 season, but moving their personnel into place so that they can protect that top eight. Because if you, as an organization, have come to the decision that you're not going to protect certain players, what's the best course of action? Move them and get some value for them before Seattle or Vegas poaches them from you. So I could see that. And I wonder what the rules are going to be. Like, if we're going into the summer of 28 and that free agency and all of that, when does the expansion draft take place? Does it take place after the NBA draft? Does it take place before? And, you know, apologies, I haven't done my research, Jeff, to figure that out.
You know what? When I was thinking about this, when I was going through rosters before to look at, like, potential stuff, like, 2 years down the road, what if a player has a player option? And the date on the player option is after, because as all of them are is after the draft. So like, if he gets drafted, so to speak, to play for another team, and then he opts out of the player option, then the team just loses the, like, they're gonna have to, like, I'm curious about stuff like that.
Yeah, they're going to have to do some type of legal tampering. It's got to be, because I'm not drafting a player that I won't have at least 1 year of control over. Yeah,
Dirty Dancer says it should be before, so you can protect your guys. And it's more knowledge. I actually agree with that.
So,
but then, hold on, though. If it's before the draft, would you have to protect the players that you are drafting in the 2028 draft? That would seem to be unfair.
They should be exempt. Drafted players should be exempt from the expansion draft.
I agree. Yeah.
Because then you're injecting the type of chaos that I don't think the league wants to deal with. It's going to be a major headache.
And I think it could already be chaos, but we'll get back to that in a second when we go through some of these teams. Sean, what's the most interesting thing to you about the fact that this is probably going to be happening?
So two things. One, the last expansion draft took place 2 days before the draft. Okay. So which means before free agency, before the draft, it's like, go figure that out. The most interesting thing to me has always been who moves to the Eastern Conference.
That's
And for years, people erroneously thought that two teams were going to move east. It was like, no, only one team moves east. And I actually created a poll like years ago, like who should move east. To me, the most obvious candidates were Minnesota, Memphis, New Orleans.
So should we say the report from earlier today, it appears that speculation is that it is going to either be Minnesota or Memphis.
I think it actually should be Minnesota, because there is a natural rivalry. Like, they're very close to all, like, a lot of the Central Division teams. They're close to Milwaukee. They're close to Chicago. It's like they're within maybe like a 2-hour flight of Milwaukee, Detroit, Chicago, Indiana. Like, I think that just makes the most sense. The other thing is that people realizing, like, Memphis being in the Western Conference is insane. Like, you should not be east of the Mississippi River.
Memphis being in the West is insane.
Yeah. You should not be east of the Mississippi River or on the Mississippi River and be in the Western Conference. Like, but, you know, it is what it is. So hopefully with two more teams that'll be in the Western Conference, at least Minnesota movies, because Minnesota, like, I saw the Knicks play at Oracle Arena in 2019, the last year of Oracle.
Oracle being the Warriors Arena.
Yes. Yeah. And I connected in Minneapolis. And you think, oh, Minneapolis, I'm not that far from the West. No, it was still like 3.5 hours from Minneapolis to the Bay.
So I just put up a map here. So what is the closest NBA city to Minneapolis? You got Chicago,
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Those two.
Yeah, because Milwaukee's.
But Memphis is further east.
Memphis is further east.
So you don't think they should be the one to move?
I said it should be one of those two. But the thing about Memphis is closer to a lot of these Western teams. So like New Orleans, Dallas, San Antonio.
Hold on. Take a step back. There's going to be 16 teams in each conference, right?
Yes.
Unless the NBA just completely abandons divisions, which I don't think that they are going to do, you're probably going to get the NFL scenario where each conference has four divisions, right?
Yes.
Okay, so wouldn't it make sense?
Or four divisions of eight or eight divisions of four. So the NFL is four.
Probably eight divisions of four, I would think.
I'm not against four divisions of eight.
My point is that, so you have three teams in Dallas, Texas. I wonder if those teams would have traded Luka. Three teams in Texas and one in Oklahoma City. That would be a division, right? So then if Memphis was in the East, they would be in a division with the two Florida teams, right? Orlando and Miami, and then New Orleans.
But that leaves
Atlanta on the outside looking in.
I did a whole.
Oh, wait, no, sorry. They can't be in New Orleans because New Orleans is staying in the West. So that doesn't work either.
Yeah.
I did a whole realignment like thing like years ago. Let's see if I can find it. Like where I was like, how do you move them around and keep the teams at the same place? And Minneapolis just made more sense. Like division wise, you can create an easier visual of Minneapolis, but Minnesota, Milwaukee, Chicago, and
yeah, who's the fourth?
And Indiana or Detroit.
Yeah.
This is going to be interesting. I think it's going to be Minnesota. Personally, I think it's going to be Minnesota. I think there's going to be a lot of support for that. If I had to guess, that would just be my guess, because it feels like they have a little bit more juice as an organization. Is that a good rationale? But that's kind of where
I'm. Do you think they would want to move east?
Oh, I think there's going to be a fucking blood sport over this.
Which is funny because the East is now like just as good as the West, but people think this is 2005.
Well, hold on though, because this is what I wanted to get into with you guys. And again, it kind of feeds into like the most interesting expansion situations to me, at least. Like I obviously I'm a big proponent of your argument, Sean, that the East is has been underrated this year. It was underrated for most of the year, and that it's very strong in the whole thing. Just projecting forward over the next at least 5 years. I mean, what this thing that is happening in San Antonio, where the oldest member of that core is what? I mean, I guess you could consider Fox a member of the core, but like they have these four kids. Vassell's the oldest among them. And then in OKC we'll go through it in a bit, but like the picks that they have coming down the pike and the young players that they have on the roster, the fact that fucking Daryl Morey gifted them Jared McCain in what is increasingly looking like the biggest freaking heist of the NBA trade deadline. Like, it is absurd what those two teams are going to have in place for at least, you never know what's going to happen, but like at least the next 5 years and maybe longer than that. So if you're a team like Minnesota or Memphis, it's not necessarily about strength in the conference from top to bottom. It's like, hold on, you're telling me now to get to the NBA finals, we got to get through both of these teams probably, as opposed to you look in the East. Like, yeah, obviously we think that there's some strong teams in the East, but there's no team in the East that projects moving forward like either of those teams. Like, Jeff, am I off base here?
I don't think you're off base. I get what you're saying. Here's a fun fact, though. The top 10 seeds in the East all have a winning record against the West.
The top 10 seeds in the East.
If I'm reading this right.
I think you probably are.
Detroit, Boston, yeah, New York, I heard Cleveland, Orlando, Toronto. Oh, excuse me. Toronto try to sneak in like the meme with the clown and the clown and the soldiers. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Nine.
Toronto's the only one that
Toronto's like one in ten versus the West or something like that.
Yeah, they're 10-13 versus the Western news. Conference. Everybody else has a winning record against the West, and it's not like they're 14-13. They have at least a few games clear on the Western Conference. Now you juxtapose that with the current West. What do they have? 1, 2, 3. I want to say 7. And then their bottom three teams, the other three teams in the play-in, are 500 or lower against the West.
Listen, a lot of things can change in 3 years. Like three seasons ago, Oklahoma City was 40-42. Like, we don't know.
Yeah, but they were a sleeping giant then.
But no one was thinking, oh, they're going to run the league for the next 10 years.
Hold on. They had a lot of those picks already.
Oh, picks. They had the picks.
The draft can also determine this. The expansion draft can shake a lot of this up. I will stand on the hill that I do not believe, especially in this parity era, that there is a major gap between the East and the West. In fact, I think it's been closed.
I think it's been closed. I'm not saying there's a gap between the conferences. I'm saying if you're a team like Minnesota that has a 20-whatever-year-old Anthony Edwards and is absolutely trying to make the finals in the next handful of years, if not win at all, the notion that you could potentially avoid having to go through both of those teams to even get to the finals and instead take your chances in the East, where it's just not like it's not that intimidating. It's not like Detroit has, I'm trying to think of a comp, what were you going to say, Sean?
Can the Spurs win a playoff series for us before we make them the final boss?
This year. I'm talking about moving forward.
I'm saying, like, can we, and this is not me saying that Wemby isn't good, but before we consider these two, like, because listen, if you go to the East, you're going to have to deal with Boston. Boston's not going away anytime soon.
I agree with that, but at the same time, Boston is not going to have any premium draft picks coming in the next couple of years. 2 years from now, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to be entering the tail end of their prime for sure. And like you look around the other side, and look, there will be teams that will rise up. But like, if we were just sitting here doing a East future power ranking right now, in terms of like what's the young team that's going to make a jump between now and 2 years from now, who's our number one pick in that draft?
No, I agree that they.
I don't even know who it'd be.
No, I agree that like if you ask me to say like who's going to be a force to be reckoned with long term, like I would be remiss if I said San Antonio would not be. What I'm saying is I am not saying like they should make me want to leave the conference in the dust. Like that's what I'm saying because we don't know who between the next 2 years. If look, what did I say last week? Indiana's winning the lottery. So Indiana wins the lottery and it's like so. What did we say about the Knicks being a two seed 2 years ago? Don't duck smoke. Yeah. So I think I think Minnesota should want to move to the East because honestly, it will be less travel for them because they can get on a plane and be in Chicago, Detroit, Indiana, Milwaukee in 2 hours tops, hour and a half maybe, instead of having to go to, I'm in the Northwest Division with Portland and Seattle Utah and who else is it? And Oklahoma Denver. City and Denver.
You know what's interesting to me? Can I just say? I could put up the map again, although I think everybody knows the geography of the country. Huh? Looking at the map, New Orleans has, if geography is the consideration, I would proffer that New Orleans has as much an argument to be in the East as Memphis or Minnesota. And my suspicion as to why they are not part of that conversation is the NBA views this more how I do and not necessarily how you do, Sean. And they are trying to balance the conferences and they are looking at the potential to move Minnesota, which we have to call it like it is now. They've made two straight conference finals, is a top flight organization in the league. And they have new ownership and got Glenn Taylor out of the whole thing. Moving them East would help to balance the conferences. And even to some extent, Memphis, I know has had some down years here, but Memphis is still viewed as like a good, you know, it's a good team, good franchise. Like that, you know, they know that's all I'm saying. Whereas New Orleans, if you sit in New Orleans, what East? Do you know every West team would be up in arms? So they'd be like, you're sending the poorly run franchise in the league to the lesser. Again, I'm saying this is what people would say. That's all.
If I have to keep New Orleans because I'm like they're bad and they're always going to be bad, just relegate them. Seriously,
I mean, I don't think these teams. I don't think this should be brand new teams coming into the league. I think a couple of these teams need to move on up and move on out.
Yes, I'm the same way. I would move teams before I do expansion.
Listen,
so
Smoothie King might need to go to Seattle.
Goodbye. When you say it too, but whatever.
That's a whole nother part of the conversation. We're not really gonna get into today. But like, just because there are two new teams coming, it shouldn't rule out the fact that a team could move, and New Orleans would be the first one on the list. To your point, Jeff.
Bring back the Rochester Royals.
Do not bring back the Rochester.
Don't ever bring back the Rochester Royals.
So no, they're the Kings. They became the Kings.
Oh, Kansas City gets another team.
The Kings.
I am actually curious. I am curious who was third on the list.
In terms of
Vegas and Seattle.
It's probably like Austin.
I actually think you just said it, Jeff.
Well, Nashville?
Austin and Nashville.
Growing.
It would have to be a city that has a football team but no basketball team, right? If you really want to try. And
Nashville has a hockey team, I believe, too.
The Predators, right? Well, are the Titans considered Nashville?
Yeah, they play in Nashville.
Yeah, sure they are.
They are considered Nashville, right? Because I know Tennessee. I'm trying to think. What other? Does Vancouver want a team again?
No, I actually believe Vancouver should. I actually would put Vancouver on the list. I think Vancouver moving was a semblance of the dollar. Like Vancouver can support an NBA team.
Yeah. Sure.
And I think that now that we're more mature as a society to think that, like, people that think that everything in Canada is, like, 12 below zero and there's nothing to do there, it's no fun. Like, remember Steve Francis, he don't want to play in Vancouver. I'm like, dog, it's not Houston, but Vancouver is one of the more cosmopolitan cities in North America. So I put them on the list.
Montreal. Is Mexico City a real dark
horse? Mexico City is...
I honestly think we are a ways away from putting an NBA franchise in Mexico City, bro.
Yeah, especially after what's happened the last few
There's a lot of... The instability alone, like, I can see the stories now about people road tripping to go to a game in Mexico, and then it becomes the fucking hangover. It becomes the hangover mixed with Breaking Bad. I already see it, bro. I hate talking like you know, but there's just too much. It's too hot. Like the same way I wouldn't put an NBA franchise in Port-au-Prince because it's just too unstable. I wouldn't put it in parts of South America. It's like the instability is not stable enough to have those type of international businesses in there. And you guarantee that there won't be a major disruption.
I'm also tired of small market teams. I'm just like, I don't want any more small market teams.
How dare you?
I don't. Like, if we have to change the rules every... Bomani Jones said this, and he's like, we can't get people to come... We can't get players to come here. Well, then maybe you shouldn't have a fucking team. Like, if I can't get people to come there, maybe you shouldn't have a team. Like, why do I have to have a team in small markets?
Ooh, Manny has a good... that's a good one.
What's
that? The instability.
San Juan.
You want to talk about instability?
You want to talk about instability, yeah. The way this country be treated Puerto Rico, that first... maybe they'll be incentivized to keep power running on the island and doing stuff like that.
They won't.
Jason says he agrees it should be Vancouver or Montreal. Listen, I was in Montreal when I was a sophomore in college. My balls are still frozen from that fucking trip because we went snowboarding trip in February.
Yeah. You want to talk about people bitching about cold All-Star. Boy, I remember Chicago. I could still feel that cold. That was 6 years ago. I could still feel that cold. You go up a few miles up. Woo! People still talk about how cold Toronto was.
Yeah, that's
and it's Toronto.
Any place north of, I don't know. Basically, like from Chicago on up, it's like you're taking your life in your hands. All right, we're gonna go through some of the more interesting expansion situations. We'll like have some fun with like what would they do if it was this summer, but also kind of project forward. I want to go first if that's okay, and I want to start with the team that is part of the reason Seattle's getting a new team, and that's the Oklahoma City Thunder. So here are the list of players. Not all the time, there's more, but these players are under contract with the Thunder for next season. SGA, Chet, J-Dub, Cason Wallace, Alex Caruso, Lou Dort, Isaiah Hartenstein, team option, obviously, Andrew Wiggins, AJ Mitchell, Jared McCain, big Jalen Williams, who's become a vital part of their team, and then Nikola Topic, who they spent a high pick on not long ago and had an injury situation earlier this year, but he's like a somewhat decent prospect, whatever. I just named 12 guys And obviously, if they would only be able to protect eight, I want to go through right now. Who would we? Let's just go through this. Who we're protecting? So Chet, SGA, J Dub, Cason Wallace. Those are the four most obvious ones, right?
Yep.
AJ Mitchell, obvious.
I think so.
I think so too.
I think you keep him.
Caruso, obvious.
Is it too? Oh well, you're saying as of now.
As if we had to do this for this summer.
This summer, I think you're keeping Caruso.
So that's six.
I think you're keeping Jared McCain. I think you keep him.
What he's shown,
I think you probably try to flip him again if you're not trying to let him just get taken by Seattle or Vegas, right?
The thing with McCain is, hold on, why is he not coming up here? They got him for $4.4 million next year.
Mm-hmm.
Then a team option for $6.7 million the year after that. That is dirt cheap for a guy who's looking like he could be a future fucking sixth man of the year.
That's all I'm saying. I don't know if they give it. Well, the McCain of it all is probably more interesting given the rest of their roster. Let me pull it back for a second. One of iHeart or Jalen Williams is out.
So probably iHeart.
So I agree with that because yep. Big Jalen Williams has become like a vital part of their team, and they got mm-hmm. him under contract. Of course they have him under contract for two more years, 7.7, 7.7 both years. That's ridiculous for a high quality backup big in the NBA.
What a break. What a break in like the best case scenario is happening to OKC right now. So you have their all-stars, Cason Wallace, Caruso, Jalen Williams, and AJ Mitchell.
I think we just named the eight because, and you know who that leaves out?
I only had seven.
No, hold on. Chet, SGA, J Dub, Wallace, Caruso, right. AJ Mitchell, McCain, Big Jalen Williams.
Oh, I thought McCain was still up for.
Well, basically, so here's what we're talking about. We're talking about Dort versus McCain. But here's the thing, Dort. Mm. $18 million team option next year. Then he is unrestricted going into his age 28 season. And he's going to want to raise. And there has already been speculation because of the second apron and all that stuff, what they're going to do. And then to just spin it forward even more, I know everybody's sick and tired of hearing this, but just as a reminder, here are the picks that Thunder have coming up in the next couple of years. They have a swap with the Clippers this season. They have full control of the Sixers pick this season. They have the Spurs, what is probably going to be the Spurs pick going to them next year because there's some weird protection stuff. They have the 2027 Denver pick. And oh, by the way, they have another swap with the Clippers coming up next year.
They have a Denver pick, whatever.
Don't ask. Just don't ask how they have all the picks they have. That's five first-round draft selections coming up in the next two this draft and the draft after that. So they're going to be adding, unless they make some moves, a whole lot more first round talent. I don't know what I would do if I was OKC projecting this forward. How do you handle this?
By iHeart, by Dort. And you know, you still got what? Isaiah Joe out there.
We didn't even talk about Isaiah Joe. Isaiah Joe's a really good player.
He's really good. I mean, they have enough capital to make something happen. Right. And is the way the expansion draft works, you can only take one team. Like, so could Vegas and is it like fantasy football where if you pick a team, they're off the board?
We also didn't mention Aaron Wiggins. Aaron Wiggins, one of the best value contracts.
That's what I was trying to think of. Aaron Wiggins.
One of the best value contracts in the league. $10 million this year, $9 million, $8.3 million, $8.3 million team option in 28, 29. Guys, rock solid. The way it worked last time was there were 27 teams in the league before the expansion draft.
Mm-hmm.
They all got to protect eight players. And then the two teams had an alternating draft of picking one player from each team. So I think, I forget if the Grizzlies or the Raptors got the first pick. They flipped a coin. So like, let's say that it was the Raptors. They picked first. They picked a player off of the Knicks. What I forget who it was. Let's just say. At that point, the Knicks were done. They can't lose any more players. And then the Grizzlies went, and then they picked a player from a different team until all 27 teams had gone through. So this time it'll be the same scenario, I would assume, except every one of the 30 teams will lose one player, and then both of the expansion teams will be left with a 15-man roster.
For the record, I don't think they have to worry about this Isaiah Hartenstein thing, because I don't think he's on the team next year.
No, that'll like, and Dort too, honestly. But yeah, even if you take those two guys off, given everything that they have, like, they're absolutely have to, they have to plan for this now, you know?
Dog, Caruso's gonna be making $22 million in 28-29. Like,
I'll take him for $22 million.
No, I mean, like, there's a chance, like, clearly Oklahoma City is going to have to leave one good player unprotected. And it might, yes. I mean, listen, because they got Topic for cheap. He's under contract through 2028.
Unless they just
McCain through 28, like,
unless they just say fuck it and they're like, look, we can only lose one guy, so why are we gonna jump through hoops to try to, you know?
Is that true though?
Oh, I think it'll be true. I don't think
so. Vegas and Seattle will pick their whole roster from existing NBA teams,
yes.
So there's 30 yeah. teams, so that means each team can only lose one player, precisely. Not up to two.
Yes.
And I will wager, oh, yeah. I will wager right now today that the first pick in the expansion draft will be a member of the Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So you probably touched on this while I stepped away, but the Thunder have seven players under contract for 28-29. SGA, Caruso, Chet, Wiggins, J-Dub. And Thomas Sorber, and then they have Topic and McCain will be restricted free agents, so they'll bring them back. So that's
but
that's,
they got all these other picks and things. Yeah,
yeah, that's nine right there. And then AJ Mitchell unrestricted. AJ Mitchell is a UF is unrestricted. Jay Will is unrestricted. Isaiah Joe unrestricted. So like one of the like I'm telling you, like it would not surprise me if they just said to Alex Caruso, who will be in his age 33 will be going to his age 34 season. Yeah, if they go like, fair. You know what? You can take him. Go ahead.
That's a good call. They're the most fascinating one to me. Jeff, give me a fascinating expansion scenario for you.
I was bouncing between
either pretend for this summer or project forward, whatever you want.
You know what? I'll say the Spurs.
That's the other obvious one for me.
Right? Because I'm looking. Let me take a look at their roster real quick.
So I got it here. So the obvious ones, whether you're talking about now or 2 years from now, Wemby, Castle, Harper, Vassell, Carter, Bryant. Carter Bryant is emerging as a serious piece of their team. That's five guys right there.
Right.
They also have, obviously, Keldon Johnson, Luke Kornet, Champagne. So that's eight players. And then
you got De'Aaron Fox, you got Harrison Barnes.
You even mentioned De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron Fox, Harrison Barnes. You mentioned Keldon Johnson, right? You
mentioned Keldon Johnson, yeah.
Yeah, like sneakily, you could mess around and get somebody solid if it went down now. Like I would have to think one of Barnes and if they say we need Fox, who does that free up?
You know what's fascinating to me? And this is what I wonder if any team will do and which team does it with which player. Is there a game of chicken that goes on? Let's say it's De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox, I'll pull up his contract right now. De'Aaron Fox is awesome. De'Aaron Fox had an argument for making an all-star team this year. He rocks. If you're an expansion team, De'Aaron Fox, how old do you think De'Aaron Fox is right now?
I'm looking at it, so I'm not going to say anything.
Is he 30?
I think he's older than that. No,
he's
I think
28. He's in his age 28 season.
That's the age where people going to call you 30 anyway. So you
So he will be entering his age 31 season for this if a team drafts him, and he will be making in that age 31 season $57.7 million. Do we think an expansion team is going to want to take on a 31-year-old De'Aaron Fox at $57.7 million, and then I think he has another year on top of that, if I'm not mistaken.
He does, for $61
million. And if you're San Antonio, are you going to bank on, well, they're probably not going to take him, so we'll just leave him unprotected because we'd rather protect you know, whoever they draft with the fucking Hawks pick that they have coming their way this year. You know, I'm serious.
Yeah, no pushback from me. So
Atlanta's first next year too, by the way.
Devontae Murray. Anyway, so I would
don't
say,
trade for Devontae Murray. That's a moral. If you're an NBA,
don't trade for Devontae Murray. So here's a case for and against a team taking De'Aaron Fox in expansion draft. The case for it is that in that 2029 season, he would have 2 years left on his deal. As I say all the time, there's no such thing as a bad 2 year contract. He's decent for 1 year and then he's expiring, whatever, yada, yada. Like, he's a $61 million cap, like, expiring contract. The flip side is that he, in that summer of 2028, will be what the French call extension eligible. And that is a headache that maybe the Seattle Supersonics or the Las Vegas Gamblers, well, not going to be called the Gamblers, the Las Vegas Hustlers will not be, they don't even want to entertain that. Or they could take him in and they could acquire him and trade him. When he's 18 months left on his deal.
Who knows what the value of his contract is going to be then? Well, Jeff, you were going to say something. What are your thoughts on this?
Now, I was thinking what the Vegas team would be to complement the Aces. I'm like, you call them like
Spades.
The Wild.
The Spades. So
like we have the Aces. I was thinking of the Spades. But
can't be the
I
clubs.
Feel like it's going to be. I can't feel like that's going to get sketchy eventually. To call them that.
I mean, anything having to do with Las Vegas. You know, what are you going to call them? The Las Vegas Desert Sun or sun's already taken. The rattlesnakes? I don't know. What animal is Roadrunners? No.
Coyotes.
Coyote, there you go. The Vegas Coyotes. I think they're gonna choose a name that is not leaning into
they better.
Casinos.
Yeah, they call better. Them the Aardvarks or something.
The Vegas cocktail waitresses. Yeah, I don't know what San Antonio is going to do because they have, again, they have young talent that'll be further injected through the draft. If they had to do it this summer and they had to lose one of Keldon Johnson, Cornett, or two of, because they would keep Fox this summer. If they had to lose two of Keldon Johnson, Cornett, Champagne, which one of those three are you protecting?
Which I was going to say, Cornett can walk. So it's between Vassell and Champagne.
Champagne and Keldon here. Johnson.
Oh, Champagne and Keldon Johnson.
I might keep Johnson.
I think I might keep Champagne.
Hold
but
on. Did I
but
add
the
up
fact
wrong?
That we're split lets you know that it's not an easy decision.
Five. Fox is six. No, sorry. They can keep two of them. So they only have to lose one.
Bye, Cornett.
I think. They like Cornette. He's good.
Yeah, hey, you gotta listen. You gotta give up. You're most likely gonna lose a good player. Most teams, not like a franchise player, but like a good player.
See, this is what makes this stuff so fascinating to me. Champagne is on a $3 million team option for next year. Now he's gonna do a massive raise. So, and as San Antonio, you know you're not paying his next contract. So it's like you. You know, do you want, and this brings me back to considerations. Teams will be able to make trades probably immediately before this draft to try to get something for the players that they would potentially use. Man, that's going to be fun. The week or 2 weeks leading up to this thing.
Yep.
Unless they freeze rosters, which I don't think they'll do. But
we have a comment that kind of went to my train of thinking, especially if it was for this season.
Which is what?
If the Knicks had to protect eight, y'all know Diawara's out of there.
Yo.
You want to do this right now?
You know Diawara's out of there.
I don't know that for sure. Well, hold on
we're saying if we're doing it for this year.
Again, if there's a complication here, it's because Mohamed Diawara is not under contract for next season, so you can't protect a player that is not under contract.
So that would be the loophole.
Well, yeah, depending on how you look at it, yeah.
Well, they said that they could. He's a restricted free agent. He'll be a restricted free agent. And
yeah, but so how does that?
The last expansion draft with the Bobcats, I had the article up here somewhere. But the last expansion draft with the Bobcats, they could choose restricted free agents also.
That's just, this could be why. I mean, the Knicks are protecting. Insane. Again, there's an interesting question. Like, is any expansion team, would any expansion team take on Karl Anthony Towns this summer?
This summer, it depends. If they're trying to,
we're playing if pretend.
If they're
pretend.
Trying to be good right away, I think they could do that because he comes off like, again, it's you basically have him on a 2-year deal,
2-year expiring deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Knicks would protect Towns because if it ever got out that they did protect them, he would be.
Oh God!
So they're protecting Towns, OG. I'm just going down the salary. They're protecting Towns, OG, Brunson, McCall, Hart. Mitch is a free agent, not restricted, so can't he? You don't have to protect him. McBride
six, and then it gets interesting.
So the Knicks wouldn't have any issues because they don't have anyone else under contract. Kolek's under contract.
Oh, that is true.
Alvarado is a player option. Yeah. But this is what I mean. If a team doesn't have eight players, what happens then?
Maybe you set it up so that way.
No, man. This is gonna be.
But no, you know what? They're probably gonna say your player option guys are eligible. It's just gonna have to be if you take that Tony's guy, you're running the risk that he's gonna opt out on you.
I have no idea how it's going to work. As long as the Knicks keep Ariel Hukporti, I'll be fine. Sean, you give us. We're already running out of time. Give me your team that's interesting to you about expansion protection and stuff.
I have a couple nominees. One for shits and giggles. One that's kind of like sneaky, and then one is like, ooh, they might have an issue.
Give me all three. I'll see if I wrote them down.
The shits and giggles one is Brooklyn.
Oh, I didn't even consider them because I have a lot of young players.
Simply because they took 5 rookies in this last draft, which means all 5 rookies will be eligible, will be restricted free agents at 29-30, which means, now granted, I don't think all of them are going to hit, but they may have some decisions to make. Because
I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're not all going to hit. Hold on. Jason has a comment here. A twist in the rules, they have to allow one player to be drafted. If you have 7, then you can only protect 6. Good call, Jason.
If they have to allow one. Oh, okay.
They cannot protect their entire roster. Like if they have 3 players under contract, they can only protect 2, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway, good call, Jason.
So the other teams I was looking at were Indiana and Charlotte.
Wow. I didn't have any of those teams. So that's interesting. Okay. Indiana's going.
Only because Indiana has.
And Charlotte. Well,
yeah, so Siakam is a UFA in the summer of 28, so whatever. I don't think they're going to bring him back at, like, in his age 35 season, 34 season, unless it's, like, a really cheap deal. But, you know, it's Hallie, it's Zubat, although Zubat's a free agent. So, you know, what's interesting with Indiana, a lot of their guys are UFAs in the summer of 28.
That year, yes, they have a lot of guys who are UFAs, but again, that just kind of gives them the ability to set some stuff up or not do anything and just be confident that, like, hey, this is great. That means we don't have to protect the guy, but we still have his bird rights, mm-hmm. and we'll just be able to resign. We keep going through these different things. There's actually an advantage, I think, if you're a team to have one of your better players be an unrestricted free agent that year, if you're confident that you're going to be able to resign that player because you have their bird rights, if you're on a good relationship with the guy and you're going to pay him anyway, like who's the, you mentioned Siakam.
Yes.
Let's say the Pacers go to Siakam and be like, hey, we're going to give you a two-year max, mm-hmm. you know, or a 3-year max with 30 years, like a team option or something. But we're not going to extend you before them because we want to keep you. Siakam's probably going to be like, okay, that's fine.
Or Siakam can be like, all right, but what if I, God forbid, I break my leg tomorrow? Or you can so interestingly enough, what's going to happen is this summer actually matters because players are extension eligible this summer. Like for example,
for that summer that we're talking about. Yes, that's correct. Yes.
So. Interestingly enough, like,
well, Cat,
this summer, and this is according to SpotTrack, Siakam, Hallie, Zubats. We'll get back to him. Nembhard, Obi, Jarace Walker, Ben Shepherd, and Johnny Furphy extension eligible. Now, Zubats is interesting because he's extension eligible this summer. He's an unrestricted free agent summer 28. I could go to you and be like, hey, look, we will give you this 2-year deal, but let's get to free agency. So that way, if you're unrestricted, we can protect you, whatever. And Zubats could be like, cool, you took care of me. Or you could be like, no, I want my money now. Like, it's going to be very interesting to see how teams, because to your point, yes, having players you want to keep be unrestricted free agents the summer 28 makes sense, but players like financial security. And if you're asking them to just say, Pat, I know you're extension eligible now, I want to keep you, but let's not do anything for 2 years.
So I just want to say, I like your logic in looking at this from this perspective in terms of like teams asking players to do them a favor and players pushing back with like, hey, you know, I got to look out for myself. Mm. I don't know that it applies to Indiana only because their roster isn't quite that stacked. Like we all love TJ McConnell, obviously. Who wouldn't love TJ McConnell? But he's going to be 36, you know, that summer. And it's a team option. So I don't think they're going to be like desperate to hang on to TJ McConnell. Maybe Jarace Walker, like he keeps panning out. Maybe he doesn't. Mm-hmm. But like they have their core five. Maybe you want to extend it to six. And like they're going to get a pick in this year's draft. Well, maybe they're going to get a pick in this year's draft. They might not. So that's the only reason why. The only other ones I kind of wanted to mention, if Embiid is still on the Sixers in 2 years.
He's the third guy.
I would be so fascinated.
Because what's ironic is that, well, one, the fact that he'll still be under contract in 2028 is just, congratulations, Philadelphia. You did it again. One thing if you protect him. It's another thing if you don't protect them, because if you don't protect them, either what if Philly leaves Embiid unprotected?
So,
and both Seattle and Vegas are like, we're good.
No,
and then he has to go back to Philly.
So you're missing a potentially, and I thought of this in the context of our friend Jakob Poeltl. We'll end on this. There could be scenarios, and I don't think it's crazy to think this, where NBA teams set up their rosters from now so that in the summer of 2028, and they'll have to know the rules first, but once they know the rules and once they know they'll be allowed to do this, they set up their rosters in 2028 to the point where they only have 9 players under contract, one of which is a guy that they are desperate to unload. Jakob fucking Poeltl is due to make 20 Jeffy, is due to make $20+ million in the 28-29 season, and then another $20+ million the year after that.
Although, and people wonder why Masai doesn't have a job.
It was the most insane contract the moment it was signed. I seriously could see Toronto being like, could we maneuver in a way where we don't care which team gets stuck with this sack of shit, but one of these teams is going to have to take this guy off our hands because that's the rules of the expansion draft.
Yo,
take someone from every team.
So then technically the Sixers could do that with Embiid. We have 9 players on the contract.
Would they? $67 million player. That's the other thing. It's a player option.
But you know what?
My brain breaks when I think about this stuff.
But you know what's like the fact that Embiid is under contract until whatever. But you know what? Again, it is 1 year, $67 million. Like,
if he's still there at the time, I don't think they would leave him unprotected. I'm more interested in stuff like for like Poeltl, because that contract's so bad. No, or like Patrick Williams of Chicago.
Oh my goodness, that's another one.
Like, no, I think that might be expiring by that point, but whatever. You get the point.
That was a bad contract the day they signed it.
Anyway, we can keep going around and around with this stuff for a while because I think it's just a very fun topic to talk about. Jeff, final thoughts before we get out of here?
Reading some of these old expansion draft rules, things can get really interesting. Like you can make a pre-expansion trade with one of these teams for the reassurance that they won't select a player. So to that point, OKC wants to keep everybody. If OKC wants to keep everybody, yo, Seattle, we'll send you. These are your picks after all. Like, let's keep it real. These are originally yours. So yeah. I'll send you one of these draft picks and leave our roster alone. Vegas, we'll send you one too. Just leave us alone. Because you don't have to select from them. Just leave our roster alone. Here's a pick for you. Here's a pick for you.
So you're going to have one of these teams negotiating with the Raptors. Like, how can we avoid having to take on Jakob Pertl's contract?
Yo.
I'm dead serious. This is so much fun. We have two more years to think about and talk about this. I can't wait to find out more about the rules once they get voted on first.
So real quick, here was the three that popped out for me from the Bobcats expansion. Any player under contract selected by the teams will be immediately placed on the roster, of course. Yeah. Any eligible restricted free agent selected shall immediately become an unrestricted free agent. Unrestricted free agents are not eligible to be protected, nor are they eligible to be selected. So now, if you select a restricted free agent and they immediately become unrestricted, does that mean that they can sign with whoever?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, right? So you're taking a chance. Well, maybe there's a deal where you send them a pick and they select the restricted free agent so that they can become unrestricted so that you don't have to match a deal or do anything like that.
So, no, hold on. So what's the incentive? So the incentive for an expansion team to take a restricted free agent would be like, hey, we would have a 0% chance of getting this guy if we didn't take him. And now at least we have a fighting chance.
Yes.
Tampering. You get the word, yo, we got 30, 40 mil for you. They're not going to pay you that. You may be restricted from, maybe you want to throw the max at a restricted free agent. Ooh, Cooper Flagg would be restricted in a few years. Be restricted, but they're going to protect them.
So some of these guys are going to sign max extensions like the first summer they're eligible. So the draft that this would apply to, Jeff, is the 2024 draft. And I'm trying to look at guys like who are not automatic, like day one max, like who could be interesting. So like, we'll see how the next year of his tenure goes, whether that's in Miami or somewhere else, but like Khalil Ware, let's say Khalil Ware goes to Pat Riley and is like, y'all are holding me out as the prime chip in the Giannis trade.
Yeah.
Where's my $30 million a year extension? And Pat Riley's like, fuck off. And he goes to restricted free agency. Now, he would still be able to protect him as a restricted free agent. But, like, I wonder if there's a scenario that could play out with an interesting free agent on a team that has a bunch of other guys that they want to protect. So that would be interesting. They wouldn't leave Ware unprotected, but maybe one of these guys. Jamal Shedd. I don't know. Who did the Knicks take in this draft? I'm afraid to ask.
Which draft?
The 2024 draft. Do we have a pick in this draft?
Isn't that Dottier?
Yes.
No, Dottier. Oh, 2024. Excuse me.
Dottier and Kolek.
Dottier and Kolek. Yeah. Well, we actually drafted Kevin
McCullough too.
And AJ Mitchell, but
neither of them. Yeah.
It's unfortunate. Okay. Sean, any other thoughts from you before we get out of here?
No, this will be interesting. Again, I think they should move teams more than expand teams. I think there are three cities that just don't need a team, and they have not shown that they should have one. But it's
which
like,
three? New Orleans and who else?
Well, I don't. People can get mad at me. I don't know. Because like,
that stopped you before.
But there's levels. Sacramento.
That's fucked up, man. They have a good fan base.
They fought for their team, though. The city fought for their team. I hear you, but they fought for them, so I can't.
And guess what? Why do they deserve a team more than Kansas City?
Because they don't.
There's
got
a history there.
Where did the Kings get to Sac? I'm sorry, the Kings were founded in Sacramento. You know where they came from? Kansas City. So, All I'm saying is people who complain, like, we can't, our team can't leave here. It's like, you stole the team from somewhere else.
Who's the third team? You said there were three.
I don't want. No, it's not that the teams are bad. It's just that, like, yeah, I'm going to say. I'm
going to say like the Celtics.
No, it's just that my thing is, it's not about good team. The team is good or bad, but it's like, if you're always complaining about we're a small market and we can't exist and we need this and the third. It's like, why are you here?
And we can't compete.
Yeah, we can't compete. And it's like, why are you here? And the salary cap changes for you. The CBA changes for you every time to benefit you.
To figure
and
out
you're still complaining.
Who you're talking about? You're going to tell us off air. All right. The fact that you don't want to give this up.
I'll say it right now. Utah.
Do they complain?
Look what Utah is doing because we can't compete. So we have to, like.
They're like, saying
if you have, if your team has to trade for injured players to get them to have the surgery so you don't play them, because that's the only way you can get good players, maybe you shouldn't have a team.
Listen, they did steal a team from New Orleans,
and they stole it. Like,
that's true,
and kept the name. That makes no fucking sense.
By the way, I think they're gonna change the name.
No, really?
The Pelicans should be the Jazz.
So, someone said this on a podcast, and it made sense. If you've noticed, all of their jerseys now say Utah. They don't say Jazz. They say Utah.
Well, they do throwback with the note.
And they say Utah.
No, the Jazz note.
Okay, it's a throwback jersey. But like their jerseys this year.
Yes, I know.
None of them say Jazz. They all say Utah.
Well, in fairness, they've been like leaning into, like, they had the mountain jerseys with when fucking Karl Malone played.
Yeah, and then they went back to the note, which I like.
Yeah, the note's nice.
But it would not surprise me if in 3 years they're not the Jazz anymore.
Listen, name chicanery. Okay, this was great. I could talk about this stuff for a lot longer. I'm going to be fascinated by this topic and spend way too much time thinking about it. Jeff, Sean, thank you both. Anything going? We should be on the lookout for the rest of this week or moving forward? No?
Campus, well, after school.
After school, yeah. At some point. I got to talk to you about scheduling that, by the way.
Definitely. Yeah. So, reminded me. That's about it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. You know where to find us over on Knicks Film School as well. If you're watching this on Twitter, go subscribe to the NBA Takedown YouTube channel as well as wherever you get your pods. On behalf of these fine gentlemen, I am. Hold on. We got to put this up before we get out of here. Manny Campos.
The Mormons.
The Utah Mormons. It's perfect.
Oh. Yo. Yo.
I know what you're going to say. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the mountain jerseys.
Yeah.
They don't say Jazz anymore. They say Utah.
Somebody called their arena Mormon Square Garden after the
basket. We got to get out of here before we offend the entire religion. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for watching another episode of Takedown. We'll talk to you guys.